Please turn in your Bibles this evening to Acts chapter 12, that portion of Scripture that we read this morning. If you were here this morning, you will know that in our studies in the book of Acts, we considered verses 18 to 24 of this chapter, Acts chapter 12, and we learned three important truths. First of all, God's servants will be preserved until their work on earth is done. Secondly, God's judgment is coming for the enemies of the gospel. And thirdly, no matter what the trial, the Church of Jesus Christ will go marching on. Well, tonight, as we continue our studies in this chapter, I want you to look for a few moments and consider a man who is mentioned at the end of this chapter. This man's name is John Mark. And we read about John Mark in verse 25. Look what it says in verse 25 of Acts chapter 12. It says, "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark." Underline the last phrase at the end of that verse. "And took with them John, whose surname was Mark." As we come to consider this character tonight in the gospel, I pray that you will listen very carefully to God's word. It's a message for those in the meeting who are not saved, but it's a message for each and every one of us. And I pray that the Lord will take his word and write it upon all of our hearts. But especially if you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Redeemer, I pray that the Lord particularly will speak to your soul. What do we learn about John Mark? Well, first of all, I want you to notice his two great blessings. John Mark had two great blessings. First of all, he was brought up in a godly home. That was his first great blessing. And then he was brought under the influence of godly men. That was his second great blessing. The Bible tells us that John Mark had a godly mother. Look at verse 12 of Acts chapter 12. It says, "And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying." The prayer meeting in Acts chapter 12, and we have considered this prayer meeting in depth, was held in John Mark's home. John Mark had a godly mother whose name was Mary. John Mark's father was probably dead at this time, and because there's no mention of him. But we read here that he had a godly mother who loved the Lord. Therefore, this young man was brought up in a godly home where he was taught the things of God by his mother. There's no greater privilege than to be brought up in a Christian home, to be taught from your mother, father's knee, the message of the gospel. And I know that most of you, if not all of you, have been brought up under the sound of the gospel in your home, especially the young people that are found here in the meeting this evening. And what a privilege and what a blessing it is. It wasn't a blessing that I had when I was being brought up in my home, because my father and mother were not saved when I was a child. But you know, it is a great blessing. And you'll notice here that John Mark not only had this blessing of a godly mother, but he had also the blessing of the influence of godly men who were all around him. Barnabas was John Mark's uncle. The Apostle John was in John Mark's home on several occasions. And the great Apostle Paul was a personal friend of John Mark's family. And when you study the history here and study the life of John Mark as he is recorded, as his life is recorded in the Bible, you learn these truths and you learn these facts. What a blessing this young man had at the beginning of his life. What an atmosphere to be brought up in, to have a godly mother who loved the Lord and the Lord's work, and also to come under the influence of such godly men as Paul and as Barnabas and as the Apostle John, and as we're going to find out in a moment, as Peter as well, because Peter was a great influence in John Mark's life. You know, these are the two of the greatest blessings that anyone can have. I wonder, especially the young people in the meeting tonight, have you ever sat down and thanked the Lord for being brought up in a godly home, a Christian home? Have you ever sat down and thanked the Lord for being brought under the influence of godly saints? John Mark was like Timothy. And of course, we read about Timothy in the New Testament, and we are told that he had a godly home, a godly mother, and a godly grandmother. Let me just remind you what is said of Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. It says this, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Now, although I wasn't brought up in a Christian home, I had a godly grandmother and a godly grandfather. And there were those around me, thank the Lord, in my family circle, in my wider family circle, who influenced me for good as far as the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned. Maybe there's someone here tonight, and there have been those who have influenced you. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're not a Christian as yet. But you've been blessed either with a godly mother, a godly father, godly grandfather, a godly grandmother. But there's been someone in your life, and they have been influencing your life and teaching you the message of the gospel. Maybe even a Sunday school teacher. Maybe a Bible class leader. Maybe a Christian friend. But there's been someone in your life, and they have been used of God and are being used of God to point you in the way of the gospel. It's a blessing. It's a wonderful blessing. And I pray tonight that as you sit again under the sound of the gospel, that you will think about God's mercy to you. Although at this present moment you're not saved, not born again of the Spirit of God, the Lord is being merciful to you because he's bringing you under the sound of the gospel. Week by week, he brings you under the influence of godly saints who have prayed for you and who are praying for you. I pray that even tonight that the Lord will speak to your heart and reveal unto you how merciful the Lord is being to you. Because my friend, there are many in this world and they have no godly influence about them at all. Brought up in heathen lands, brought up under the sound of heathen religions, and they know nothing of the saving grace of God in Jesus Christ. And yet here you are tonight, and you've been nurtured and brought up in the things of God and taught from your earliest days your great need of God's wonderful salvation. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing. John Mark had these blessings. Of that there is no doubt. But of course, these blessings in themselves, while good, will never save you. And I want you to notice, secondly, that John Mark was truly converted. There was a day in his life when he was truly converted. Now, what age John Mark was when he was saved, we cannot be sure. But one thing we are sure of, he was truly converted to Christ. John Mark, I believe, was saved through the preaching and the personal witnessing of the Apostle Peter. Turn over just for a moment to 1 Peter chapter 5 and look with me at verse 13 and you'll read these words. And these words, I believe, indicate to us that the Apostle Peter pointed John Mark to Christ. Look what it says in 1 Peter 5 verse 13. It says, "The church that is at Babylon, elect together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son." Now underline those words at the end of that text of scripture. Here Peter is coming to speak about John Mark. Peter here refers to John Mark as Marcus. Three times in the New Testament, John Mark is referred to as Marcus. Now, I'm not going to turn you to the references, but let me just let you know where they're found. Colossians 4 verse 10. Philippians 1 verse 24, and here in 1 Peter 5 verse 13. And of course, Marcus was the Roman way of pronouncing Mark. And here in 1 Peter 5 verse 13, Peter calls John Mark his son. His son. Underline the words. Underline what he says. Marcus, my son. That is his son in the faith. He's talking here about how he led and pointed John Mark to Christ. In other words, Peter led John Mark to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus. He sat down with him and explained to him the way of salvation. And it was through the ministry and it was through the influence of Peter that this young man came to know Christ as his own and personal Redeemer. I've no doubt that the godly influence that John Mark had in his home played a major part in his conversion, and also the influence that these godly men that we have mentioned had on him coming to the Savior. But he was led to Christ through the ministry of the Apostle Peter. Oh, let me ask you tonight, with all your blessings and with all your privileges, and I'm talking about your spiritual blessings and your spiritual privileges, being brought up in a Christian home, having godly parents, having godly grandparents, being influenced by godly saints. Let me ask you this question. Have you truly been converted to Jesus Christ? Because that's the question that you need to get an answer to this evening. And you need to answer it honestly within your own heart and within your own soul. Because, my friend, it's one thing to have all these privileges and one thing to have all these blessings, these spiritual blessings. But it's another thing to be converted and saved by the grace of God. You see, the truth is you need to come and trust Christ as your Savior, just as John Mark did. Just as there was a day in John Mark's life when Peter knelt with him and led him to Christ, you must come tonight and seek the Lord and find eternal redemption through the blood of the Lamb. Oh, the place of conversion in the life of the sinner. We're not sure exactly where and when John Mark got saved. We know that it was Peter that was used. We have already emphasized that. But there was a place. There was a place. A place when after Peter preached. A place when after Peter expounded the message of the gospel. That this young man came under deep conviction of sin. And by faith, trusted Christ as his own and personal Redeemer. Where was the place when you were truly converted? Where was the place? Oh, it's not good enough just to come to church. And you know that because we preach that every week. And we'll continue to preach that. Religion in itself is not alone. Oh, you need more. More than religion. You need Christ. And I pray this evening that in Bethel Free Presbyterian Church tonight, before you leave this meeting, that you will bow by faith at the foot of the cross, bow at the pew where you're sitting now, and ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and to save you and to redeem you for time and for all of God's eternity. There was a place in Paul's life when he was saved. There was a place in Lydia's life. There was a place and a time in the Philippian jailer's life. And Samuel, we could go through all the conversions. And there was a time and a place when John Mark truly repented of his sin and by faith trusted the Lord Jesus as his Redeemer. And my friend, that's what you have to do tonight if you're going to be truly, truly saved. Now, there's something else I want you to notice about John Mark. I want you to turn over just for a moment to Acts chapter 13. In your Bible. Now we'll be turning to another portion of Scripture, Acts chapter 15, before we finish this point. But the third point I want to bring out about John Mark is this, his turning back. His turning back. John Mark, I believe, backslid. John Mark was not long saved before he went into full-time service. There's no doubt that he had a burning zeal and a desire to serve God. In Acts chapter 13, John Mark accompanied Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. And we'll be saying more about Paul's first missionary journey in the weeks that lie ahead. But he turned back. John Mark turned back and did not finish the missionary journey. And that's what we learn here in the book of Acts. This was counted as a failure in the life of John Mark. For a long time after this, the Apostle Paul would not bring John Mark on any more missionary journeys with him. He couldn't trust him, in other words. Look at Acts 13, verse 13. And you'll read these words. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. It's important that you notice there that John Mark turned back. He didn't complete the missionary journey. And Paul was not a bit pleased. Now turn over to chapter 15 and you'll see that Paul was not pleased with John Mark turning back. Look at verse 36 and on. We read these words in Acts 15. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. In other words, Paul's going on another missionary journey now. And he's taking Barnabas. And as they make their plans to go on this missionary journey, Barnabas wants to take John Mark. But Paul doesn't. Look at verse 38. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark. And of course, when you read on down the passage, the Apostle Paul took Silas. But you can see here very clearly that John Mark, he fails. He fails. He turns back. And there's a number of great lessons here we learn. Indeed, lessons not only for young people, but lessons for each and every one of us who are thinking about full-time service. Here's a word in season for each and every one of us. First of all, we must count the cost before we go into full-time service. I wonder, did John Mark fully count the cost before going on that first missionary journey? And we must be absolutely sure that our motive is right when we're stepping out to do anything for the Lord. And we must be absolutely sure that we have the call of God in our lives. Did John Mark have the call of God in his life? Did he? In Acts 13, verses 2 and 4, we read that the Holy Ghost called two men, Paul and Barnabas. How come three went? That's a good question, isn't it? Did God really call John Mark? And if the Lord did call him, why did he not stick the pace? Oh, child of God, we must be very careful. We long to see men and women go into the Lord's work full time, but it's so important that we count the cost, that we go and serve the Lord for the right motives, and that we have the call of God in our lives, and that we want to do God's work with all of our hearts, souls, and minds. John Mark turned back. The Bible says in John 3, verse 27, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. How sad it is to get out of God's will. If the Lord did call John Mark to go on that first missionary journey, then he got out of God's will. We have to say that at the very least. He got out of God's will. And so important for us day by day in our Christian lives, when we're saved after we come to the Lord, that we walk close with the Lord and that we know his will as we seek to serve him with all our hearts, souls, and minds. Maybe there's someone here tonight. Let me apply it to your heart and life. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you're saved. You know you're saved. The Lord has saved you. You're truly converted. But you're backslidden. Maybe you've got into bypath meadows. Maybe you've grown cold in your Christian walk. And you're not obeying the Lord the way you used to obey the Lord. And you're not living for the Lord the way you used to live for the Lord. And maybe you're like John Mark. You've turned back. You've turned back. Oh, I would exhort you tonight to turn afresh to the Lord. Thank God the Lord will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. You see, there's something else I want you to notice here about John Mark. And this is very, very important. And I'm sure if you've studied the book of Acts, then you will be aware of this. If you study the life of John Mark, you'll be aware of this. I want you to notice the testimony of Scripture after John Mark's failure, after John Mark turned back. John Mark was eventually called into God's work and used by the Lord in a mighty way. Consider two things here. He worked alongside the Apostle Paul again. Now, when Paul went to go on that second missionary journey, he didn't want John Mark. He didn't think John Mark was ready because he had let him down before. But Paul did use John Mark. Or more importantly, the Lord did use John Mark again in the work of God. And Paul accepted John Mark again. Turn over with me and you'll see this to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And Paul here is writing to Timothy. And this is what he says in verse 11 of 2 Timothy 4. Underline these words. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark. Take Mark. That's John Mark. And bring him with thee. For he is profitable to me for the ministry. Underline those words. Here's Paul speaking. And Paul is emphasizing many years later, as he thinks about the work of God and those who can be used in the work of God and those who are being used in the work of God. And notice that John Mark is being used. Oh, I think that's wonderful. He was used by God to serve the Lord again. And of course, John Mark was used by God to write the gospel that bears his name. The Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark. What a tremendous privilege and honor that was. In order to write a part of the Scriptures, John Mark had to be guided by God and filled with the Holy Ghost to do this task. He was truly a great man of God. And although he made a mistake, and although through his turning back, there was contention among great men of God, i.e., Paul and Barnabas, the Lord picked him up and used him again in his service. What do we learn here? Simply this: failure does not mean that God cannot use us in the future. Failure does not mean that we are finished. God can revive, God can restore, God can take up those who have failed and use them again in his service. And child of God, that's very encouraging, isn't it? At least I think it's encouraging. Here we have a young man who did fail. Of that there is no doubt. But as we read on in the Scriptures and as we consider the Bible's record of this young man, we can see that the Lord restored him and the Lord blessed him in later days. You know what the Bible says? When thinking about the backslider, when thinking about those of God's people who have failed the Lord, the Bible says this in Joel 2, verse 25, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. Jeremiah 30, verse 17 says, For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. And verse 18 of Jeremiah 30 says this, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places. Isn't it wonderful that although at times we make mistakes, although at times we let the Lord down and we fail the Lord is willing to take us up and forgive us and to use us again. And of course, we were thinking there of Peter, the man who led John Mark to Christ. Peter is another example of someone who failed and yet was used by God in a mighty way after that failure. And of course, the failure I'm thinking about was when Peter denied the Lord with oaths and curses. Remember, he denied the Lord three times before the cock crew. And he went out, the Bible says, and he wept bitterly. It's hard for us to imagine what Peter was going through, but he certainly failed the Lord. It literally means when Peter denied the Lord that he swore in the name of God that he did not know Jesus Christ. Such was the denial. Such was the denial. And yet, you remember when the Lord rose again. The Lord said, or the angel said, a message from the Lord to the Marys. He says, listen, go tell the disciples that I've risen again and tell Peter. He mentions Peter specifically. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord is merciful even when we fail? And maybe there's a child of God here and you feel. Maybe you've let the Lord down. And maybe you feel that the Lord cannot and will not use you again in his service the way he has used you in the past. Well, I can tell you now he will. He will. He used Peter again. He used Peter on the day of Pentecost. Peter preached to 3,000 to a multitude at Jerusalem, and 3,000 souls were saved. You ever consider what Peter said that day? Study it carefully. Peter said to the nation of Israel, ye have denied the Holy One. Ye have denied the Holy One. But you're Peter, you denied the Holy One. Three times you denied the Holy One. But you see, Peter has been restored, and he's now preaching the gospel, and he's being used of God again. Oh, praise God. Tonight, child of God, maybe you feel a failure. Well, I have good news for you. The Lord can take you up again. The Lord will forgive you and restore you. And the Lord can use you mightily in his service again. He used Peter. He used Peter, of course, also to write part of the scriptures after that failure. First and second Peter. And he used John Mark. He used John Mark. And although there was a time, Paul says, listen, I don't believe he's right. I don't believe that he's got himself sorted out yet. We can't just trust him at the minute. The day came. The day came when he could trust him again. And the day came when Peter wanted him to help in the work of God. When Paul wanted him to help again in the work of God. Oh, thank God. Failure does not mean that God is finished with us. And that's what we learn in the life of John Mark. And I pray this evening that the Lord will come and take us up, each and every one of us, again, and use us even in days of revival. But maybe you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved. You're not born again of the Spirit of God. Oh, my friend, you need to come and, like John Mark, put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to come tonight, because the Bible emphasizes that now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And you know that so well. And would you not come this evening? Would you not come and cast your burden upon Christ? The Lord has been so good to you. The Lord has blessed you in so many ways. The Lord has spoken to you so many times up until this very night, and he is speaking again this evening. And he wants to save you. My friend, your life will never be changed. God will never use your life in any way until you come and trust the Lord Jesus as your Redeemer. May God bless his word to all of our hearts.